it is some 42 hours, 7 years, 4 minutes, 6 weeks, whatever order you want to put in it, since Chelsea and Liverpool finally returned home from the Super Cup. Such was the length of the game, 90 minutes, pure entertainment. We had some extra time. Then penalties, they were quite good, weren't they? But what effect will that have on the Premier League this weekend? That Hollywood blockbuster, Adrienne. I just did that. It was ridiculous. I'll do it again. I won't. You can watch that back to your heart's delight by subscribing to us on YouTube. This is Football Only Better.
I'm a special one.
I'm talking about facts.
I talk to them, Billy Dim, Billy Don, when they are sleeping.
I'm not a dreamer, I'm super romantic.
This isn't just football. It's football, only better.
It is a Hollywood lineup on Football Only Better this week. They're all giving me that sort of look. If you're not watching this on YouTube, why not? Because the look is something to die for. He is an expert in all things European football. I'll turn to him first. Andy Brassel joins us.
Hello, how are you? I noticed when you said Hollywood initially, you had your back turned to me. It was gravely insulted.
Hollywood smile, how much did you pay for it down Romford High Street? Is that not it? Super Cup, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. I enjoy every match that's at Beşiktaş because it's just, I just love that, the contours of the place, knowing it's right there next to the Bosphorus. And it was pretty entertaining as well. I know people have talked of the UEFA Super Cup as a glorified friendly. The way that Liverpool celebrated at the end felt appropriate. It felt like it validated it. And I thought both teams could take a lot of positives from it.
Was he celebrating at the end? Mark O'Hare, betting analyst and expert, were you? Did you enjoy it?
It was okay.
All right, good.
It's not really a match for me, to be honest. I would say it is a glorified friendly. I think it's a bit of an inconvenience for the two teams. Travelling out to Turkey in midweek between Premier League match weeks, I don't think is ideal. But I think there's potential for us from a betting perspective to come out of that game. So I guess on the whole, it was a positive.
He's gone early. Will it affect the Premier League this weekend? Kevin Hatchard, I mean, you can have one eye on the Premier League this weekend, but as our Bundesliga commentator, for you, it's all about the new, because the Bundesliga, La Liga, both off and running.
Yeah, it's all very exciting. It's all going to kick off Friday night in Munich. I'm lucky enough that I'm going to be there, hoping not to make a big mistake and embarrass myself.
What would that be? Welcome to the Premier League.
Something along those lines, getting a player's name wrong, stumbling over a name, that kind of thing.
People can get in touch with us via social media. Between now and then, if there's a word we'd like you to get into commentary, I mean, is there one?
Kumquat, maybe. Maybe I'll try and stick that in there.
Of all the words in all the world that I thought he'd try and get in, Football Only Better, brought to you this week by Kumquats. Right, into the Premier League we go. Not least because of all that happened last week and what that might reflect on this week. You touched on it, Mark O'Hare. You said that actually Super Cup might have an effect on what comes this weekend. Are you expecting Chelsea and Liverpool to be a wee bit tired?
Possibly, yeah. I don't think the travel is any help. Not necessarily for them, more for the opposition teams. We saw probably the effect of Wolves having to go to Armenia just a couple of days before their first Premier League game. They did look a little bit jaded. That's not going to be the case this time around. But in terms of the first week, I think outcome bias is massively prevalent because Chelsea and Norwich were written off because they conceded 4 goals. Where in fairness, if you look at those games in isolation, over the 90 minutes, look at chances created, chances conceded. I thought both teams put on a fairly decent display. And I think any kind of assessments for writing Norwich off, you know, after losing 4-1 at the European Champions on the opening night, when they had more shots on target than any team last season, Anfield are pretty premature. So I'd be pretty confident in both teams going reasonably well or better than last week at least.
Because we tend to think of outcome bias being a bit of a negative thing.
I think the interesting thing, if you look at Chelsea, that Mark touched on there, you could look at it without having really paid attention to the games and say they were hammered at Old Trafford and they've lost the Super Cup to Liverpool. But actually, if you paid attention to both matches, they hit the frame of the goal twice against Manchester United. They played pretty well for an hour. It was individual mistakes that really cost them. And then United's counter-attacking game, the speed of it is kind of suited to that if you've got one team chasing the game. And they were very effective in punishing Chelsea's errors. And actually, they made lots of chances against Liverpool as well. And I think they'll be really disappointed that they weren't able to get that one over the line. So I actually think with Chelsea, it's interesting. You look at their odds on the exchange to finish in the top four.
Mm.
They're 3.25. It's quite big compared to United, who are 2.24, and Arsenal are 2.2. I don't see much between the three of them, if I'm honest. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how Chelsea get on, but I think people are a bit down on them after those first two games.
Andy, I love how Kevin talks about the top four. Gary Neville this week said United are more likely to go and win the Premier League before Liverpool. Have you changed your opinion based on what we saw from United, what we've seen from Chelsea on how that top four may look?
No, not really. I do feel, as a lot of people did before the start of the season, that not just the top two, but the top three, if we're including Tottenham as well, are far enough away from the rest that there's just a brilliant opportunity for one of those teams, be it Arsenal or Manchester United or even Chelsea, to get that fourth place. As Kevin said, it was tighter than the game suggested, and I'm sure that'll unfold over the season. I mean, like Mark, I'm not into making any hard and fast conclusions from the first weekend of the season, because I think one of the most notable things, we looked at all the team sheets and, you know, you thought, oh wow, everyone's got an incredible bench, even Newcastle have got an incredible bench, and it's because those players aren't ready to go into the first 11 just yet. So these teams have still got to take shape, and I feel that, you know, Arsenal probably had the best transfer window out of, well, obviously better than Chelsea, but better than Manchester United as well, even with the purchase of Harry Maguire. So I guess they are the team that you think off the back of that have the advantage for fourth place. But I still think it will be relatively close between those three, and they've all got a chance.
Andy Brassel, as a European football expert, looking at the Premier League, we're also going to look ahead to the Bundesliga, La Liga as well. What gives you more excitement heading into this season? Which one's going to be more competitive?
Well, it depends what you mean in terms of competitive. If you mean competitive to fourth place, you know, I think the Premier League looks pretty good. I think for me, La Liga looks really, really interesting because a lot of people have Barcelona as very short favourites. I think they're going into a period of transition, which is perhaps not as clear as the one that Real Madrid are in at the moment, which is very obvious. But that top three of Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico, there's big changes for all of them already happening and continuing to happen, I think, over the next season or two. Atletico have had a great pre-season as well, so I think they're very interesting to watch. And talking of, you know, regenerating, renewing, I think Dortmund are in a position to make it an even better title race. It was a pretty good one last season. It was the best Bundesliga title race we've had in years. But now I think the fact that they got all their business done really early. Bayern aren't really quite in that place. They don't have a coach with total authority. So I'm quite hopeful that will be a race. And this is all we want from the major European leagues. Isn't it a proper title race?
Love it. Love it. Also, it means that we spent about half an hour talking about just our reflections on the weekend instead of what's about to come. So we will talk Bundesliga, La Liga. Premier League, though, is where it's at for the next wee while here on Football Only Better. So some value coming up this weekend. Where are we going to find it? The big game of the weekend. It's the one that's got the glossy previews in all the broadsheets when you see those kind of rocky. I've mentioned rocky again, but it's mainly because for those that are not watching on YouTube, you do, Kevin, have a fantastic film T-shirt on, which is?
Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica. And I just love a film reference. What's going to be the Battlestar Galactica of this weekend? It has to be Manchester City, Tottenham Hotspur, Saturday 5:30. That's the key TV game this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific prospect because you've got two teams who will feel that they can, well, Manchester City will certainly feel like a push for the title, given that they've got 198 points in the last two seasons, and Spurs will hope to get closer, having got all the way to the Champions League final, having started in the way they did against Villa. I know they started slowly, but they actually played very well over the course of the 90, and I think deserved that win in the end. And given the signings they've made, Giovanni Lo Celso, Tanguy Ndombele, Sessegnon going there as well, you know, they're in a good position. And actually, if you look at the games they've had with Manchester City recently, they've been fairly tight. I mean, three of the last four meetings have featured just one goal apiece. And in the Champions League, that second leg at the Etihad, what an extraordinary game that was. and Spurs in the end squeaking through. So this is fascinating. It really is. And
squeaking through. I mean, there was a goal, maybe Sterling argues, that wasn't given, that maybe should have been given. Mark, in defence of Tottenham, that was a bit of a grudge match. Would there be any grudge going in? Will that play a part?
I think it will, yeah, for sure. I think City won't have forgotten that. They only went out on away goals and they'll feel
Kevin hasn't forgotten.
But, you know, interestingly, we talk about competitiveness of different leagues. This is basically the top two of two of the top three in the Premier League, and you've got a team here at 1.35 to win. You know, it makes no sense from a betting perspective if we're talking about a sort of a competitiveness. But this City team just continue to amaze me, because last weekend they were absolutely fabulous. Mahrez had a brilliant summer with Algeria, was superb. Sterling got the headlines. You've got Aguero and Bernardo on the bench. You've got Cancelo now in that team as well. So I think they've just got options galore. In terms of wins, they've won 34 from 38 in the Premier League at the Etihad against the Big Six, 9 wins from 10, 6 of those by 2 goals or more. I wouldn't be surprised for City to put a statement down this weekend and get a decent win here, because I have my doubts over Spurs. Vertonghen in the stands, something's not right there, clearly. You want him in your defence against City. Ali was missing, Son was missing, Sessegnon's not fit, Lo Celso. I think Lo Celso is the only one of those who's got a chance to play, and conditioning-wise, I'm not sure where he's at. And Spurs' record away at the Big Six is really quite frightful. Under Pochettino, 4 wins, 6 draws, 15 defeats, 2 clean sheets in 25, conceded at least 2 goals in 13 of those games. For me, it's a City win, and it's a City win in a high-scoring game. But
yeah, well done for all that hope, Andy, that you just Tottenham fans. The one hope is Eriksen, clearly, Christian Eriksen.
Yeah, and I'm really interested to see what happens with him for the remainder of the transfer window. I mean, he's in this really unusual sort of transfer purgatory, isn't he? Where he wants to make the move to a bigger club, but none of those bigger clubs are completely sold on him. He's number 2 or 3 or 4 on their list.
So you've not heard sniffs from Europe really over who may or may not want him?
No, well, there are teams that would not rule him out, but are they going to go all in for him? I think no. I wonder if his best option, and Tottenham's best option for the moment, is a marriage of convenience where they maybe give him a bit of a pay rise, maybe a gentleman's agreement or a buyout clause in his contract so he can go next summer. Because he showed how vital he can be. If he can show that on a consistent basis throughout the season, and especially, as Mark says, with Lo Celso coming in, maybe to take a little bit of the creative pressure off him. Because that's where Spurs are lacking, really, and that's where they were lacking for the first 60 minutes or so against Aston Villa, isn't it? You know, he can really prove if they come back and do really well again. There are more eyes on Tottenham this season internationally because they did so well in the Champions League last season. Maybe this is the season where he can sell himself to Europe, if you like. Mm.
Commentator Kevin, as I will let you have this hat, Lo Celso. First thing, my brothers are all Spurs fans on the phone. How do I say it?
Lo Celso, apparently. He has said himself Lo Celso, although we have very learned colleagues, me and Andy, who have said Lo Celso and have been insistent that he is. But if the player himself is saying Lo Celso, what can we do?
Any value in him for this weekend in helping Spurs out?
It'd be interesting to see just how involved he is. I mean, in terms of the goals markets, there are some interesting lines, because you've got Harry Kane, who scored twice against Villa on the opening weekend, 21-10 on the sports book to score, and that's partially because Spurs are such long odds to do well in this game. Raheem Sterling, who I thought was absolutely terrific against West Ham, has got, if you include the FA Cup final from last season, 6 goals in his last 3 games. He's 11-10 to score. And if you look at Sergio Aguero, who's got 11 goals against Spurs in 16 matches, in the last 16 matches in all competitions, he is 6-4 on the sportsbook to score at any time. So an interesting array of players there, but I really fancy Sterling at 11-10.
I'm going for something that will raise all your eyebrows, which is a draw. Tottenham don't draw, do they?
No.
2-2, City-Spurs, I think, but I reckon City will get an early lead within 15 minutes.
Well, if you think it's going to be tight, you could back Spurs plus 1.5 on the Asian handicap, which means as long as they don't lose by 2 goals or more, you get a winner at 1.8. So if that's the way you want to go, you could sneak down that conservative
route. Why are you smirking, Mark? At that?
I just like all the positivity around Spurs, because I can't see it this weekend. I think they can get on the score sheet, but I think for me it's a City win. If you think Spurs can score, City to win and BTTS is 2.7 on the sportsbook. But for me, I think the safer option is City to win and over 2.5 goals at 4-5. I think it's going to be quite a good high-scoring game, but City for me.
Andy, you don't play it safe, do you?
No, absolutely
Spurs
not.
Spurs 7-0?
Well, you know, I think City's anger from last season, as Mark was saying, and how they control that, I think will be quite interesting to see if they can keep that under wraps. I really love the way that, basically, if Spurs play the first hour like they played the first hour last week, Mark's right, they'll get absolutely belted.
Yeah.
The thing that really interested me, and it's something that you see with teams, really fierce teams like Juventus, like Bayern Munich on the continent, the way that Spurs finished that game, I think, against Villa, that was very, very interesting. I wonder if Spurs to score last might be an interesting bet.
That's all you're working out. At the very end of the podcast, we'll have a little look to see if any of you pick that for the battle this weekend. That is Manchester City up against Spurs then. Done. Let's rattle through some of the other TV fixtures. Saturday, Arsenal-Burnley, this is a 12:30. Some value in this one, Kevin?
Yeah, I think there is. Arsenal's record against Burnley is terrific. They've won the last 10 matches against them, including the last 9 Premier League meetings. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's got a wonderful record against Burnley. He's scored a brace in all 3 of his meetings with them. He scored the winner at Newcastle. He's now 7.4, by the way, on the exchange to be Premier League top scorer, which I think is not bad considering the firepower he's got around him and the record.
Kevin, actually an interesting one. Nicolas Pepe at 70. And you think Arsenal are set so well to counter-attack. His form in Ligue 1, which is difficult to score goals in, has been absolutely outstanding in the last season and a half. I think he's a really interesting left-field one.
Well, Pepe's the right guy to mention because you look at this attacking unit with Arsenal. I think at home they're going to be so, so dangerous. And if you look at the fact that they've won by 2 goals or more in 7 of their last 10 Premier League home games, I think that brings Arsenal -1.5 on the Asian handicap into play at 1.94. Because I think Burnley's 3-0 win over Southampton on the opening weekend was a bit misleading, because I think they benefited from Saints falling apart in the second half. I don't think they were 3 goals better than Southampton. So I think Arsenal could win this comfortably.
Talking of falling apart in the second half, this was meant to be a quick run through. So I'll rattle through the rest. Sunday, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace. This at 2 o'clock on the telly then, Mark.
Yeah, not a match I'm particularly looking forward to from
a
betting perspective.
Right, let's move on.
more from a betting perspective, because I think it's pretty hard to sort of to see where these two teams are at. Sheffield United's overlapping centre-halves got a lot of press last week, but actually it's Sharp and McGoldrick who've been doing the business for them for over a year now. So Sheffield United will offer a threat going forward. But for me, this game's all about Wilfried Zaha from a betting perspective. No player moved the markets more than Zaha last season.
Really?
Yeah, if he wasn't included in the starting lineup, Palace's price just drifted like a barge. And you can see why. Since January 2017, 14 defeats in 17 that he hasn't started. Failed to score in 12 of those, including last weekend, of course. So yeah, I'd have a little look to see if Zaha's in the team first before making a real close call on this one. But for me, it's got a bit of a draw written all over it.
I'll ask both of you, Kevin and Mark, for some value in Chelsea-Leicester. But Chelsea, not as bad as the first weekend. Can they be better than the Super Cup? Andy?
Well, again, I thought they played pretty well, like Kevin. I think to come through both those matches against good opposition with nothing to show at the end of it is a bit of a shame. But it does make me feel they're a little bit vulnerable against Leicester as well. I mean, what's to say they won't play well again and be undone by a few mistakes? You know, I want to feel that N'Golo Kante is going to make a difference, and he will make a difference, presuming he plays again. But yeah, I think Leicester are an interesting team this season and have a few surprises for Chelsea, maybe.
Yeah, Vardy and Leicester surprised me by a certain Vardy not scoring when he was supposed to last weekend. Lee said about that. So that one, again, concluding the Saturday games. Out of the Chelsea-Leicester, where's the value for you, Kevin?
Well, I think maybe over 2.5 goals at 2.02 on the exchange, because if you look at Leicester's away record, they've conceded 15 goals in their last 8 Premier League away games. But the way that they will set up under Brendan Rodgers, you've got Youri Tielemans, you've got James Maddison, they will look to supply Vardy. what we have seen from Chelsea in the opening couple of games is they do give you chances. There is that lack of organisation at the moment at the back. So I think they'll have chances to score. I expect Chelsea to score as well. So I think over 2.5 goals there at 2.02.
We can read more from all of you, and why wouldn't we want to, at betting.betfair. Loads more on there. So the other games to look out for on Saturday, Villa Bournemouth, Brighton West Ham, Everton Watford, Norwich Newcastle United, Southampton Liverpool at 3. Both to score, Southampton Liverpool is mine from that. Anyone want to pick anything else out from any of the above?
I think Brighton West Ham's got goals written all over it.
Go on, Mark.
West Ham, we've talked about them in the last week, really, about their defensive issues. We saw that last weekend as well against City. Going forward, they've got a dearth of quality attacking players. And Brighton, you know, the new system, same players, quality on the bench now to come off. I love the way Potter just went for it, 1-0 up, just throw more strikers on. You're going to go and win this game. And they did. And I just think that's got a great, I just think goals, BTDS.
Goals, goals, goals. Kevin?
Goals at Villa Bournemouth as well. Because I think if you look at Bournemouth's overall record last season, the vast majority of their games saw an over 2.5 goals bet land. Villa, I thought, looked dangerous against Spurs. Were overwhelmed in the end. And I can't see either of them setting up particularly defensively here, especially when you bear in mind they've not won the opening game. So I think over 2.5 goals at this one with 1.88 on the exchange. I think that's worth a look.
Kevin Hatchard, Mark O'Hare, Andy Brassel, I was going to bring you in on that, but like a fine wine, I've uncorked you. I'm going to let you rest because we're going to talk all things Wolves, Manchester United next. Andy Brassel, Mark O'Hare and Kevin Hatchard here with me, Caroline Barker, on Football Only Better. There's a small matter then, come Monday, 8 o'clock on the telly, of Wolves up against Manchester United. We've already mentioned, if you've listened to the podcast, download it, subscribe, give us a like if you will, or you can watch us on YouTube. Goals, goals, goals throughout the weekend. Wolves, Manchester United, Kevin. The cup should overflow us, shouldn't it, with goals? Exciting, attacking football? No. Is this going to be 0-0?
I don't think it will be 0-0. If you look at the two home games Wolves played against United last season in League and Cup, they both ended 2-1. I think the value in this might be in opposing Manchester United, maybe, because, yes, they beat Chelsea 4-0, but I think there were flaws there, and I think they did struggle under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Molineux in both the League and the Cup game as well. And if you look at Wolves at home, unbeaten in the last 8 Premier League at home, they've won 6. They secured home wins against both Arsenal and Chelsea last season. So I'd be looking at Wolves maybe draw no bets at 2.47 on the exchange. What that means is if Wolves win, you win. If it's a draw, you have your stake returned. You only lose if Wolves lose.
Jake Oscarthorpe from InfoGoals not here. He normally gives us the XGs. He's not here because I think it's International Brian Dean Day, isn't it? 27 years since he scored the first goal in the Premier League and XGs was born and the rest of it. He's gone for this as his bet of the week for Wolves to win.
And I think that's really reasonable because...
On the XGs?
Yeah, I think... You look at how they've moved on from last season as well. I think that's very important because... Manchester United, as we said, were probably not in four goals better than Chelsea in the game. They did allow Chelsea chances. This is the bit, I think, where we find out what a difference Harry Maguire really will make. I mean, it clearly is a huge boost for Manchester United and a very, very good debut.
Why is there a tone, Andy Brassel, to you saying that?
There's a but. He didn't stop Chelsea getting chances. And I think if you look at Wolves, the way they've gradually, incrementally improved since being promoted. And I think circumstance allowed them to do that, really, because they were promoted as one of the best championship champions we've seen in a very, very long time. And so they didn't have to throw loads of new players in straight away. They could just bleed them in. You look at someone like Leander Dendonca, who had a bit of a slow first season, is becoming more and more influential. The big signing for me is Patrick Cutrone, because he is a guy who's a born goal scorer from Milan. Very surprised that Milan let him go. Almost as surprised as I am that Moise Kean turned up at Everton. And there was so much workload on Raul Jimenez last season. They did a really great job for them. He played more games last season than he played in the previous two seasons combined at Benfica. And when you add a Premier League sort of athleticism onto that, that is hard work. Yeah. This time, he's got a bit of relief, he's got a bit of help, and they've got finishers in that team.
Mark, Kevin?
I was amazed that Jimenez did as well as he did last season, because if you looked at his record where he'd been previously, he wasn't as regular a goal scorer as you'd like him to be. He did a lot of good work bringing others into play, but I was amazed at just how consistent he was in the Premier League last season. He scored against United last season at Molineux. If you think he will again, he's 9-5 on the sports book to do that, and I think that's a decent bet.
I think it's a full house for Wolves here, because looking back to their game last week against Leicester, they'd come back from the long trip to Yerevan, which obviously clearly didn't help their preparation. They're at home this weekend, or this week, sorry, in the Europa League. They'll be fielding a much-changed team, 4-0 up on aggregate. They've got the extra day's rest. This is matched not till Monday night as well. So clearly preparation is going to be key for them, and I think it's going to be in their favour this week. But, you know, they got a lot of plaudits for their record against the Big Six last season. But it's not just that. If you take out Liverpool and City, their record against the top half, 8 wins, 4 draws, 2 defeats. At Molineux, exclude the top two, their record 10 wins, 3 draws, 3 defeats. They beat Man United at Molineux last year, with United fielding a bit of a weakened team. Wolves are a bigger price on Monday night than they were to win that match last season, which clearly is just an overreaction to United beating Chelsea last week.
Yeah.
United were outshot 8-17, conceded 7 shots on target, 9 inside the penalty area, 2 hit the woodwork as well. And they won once against the top 7 last year, and Wolves are ranking as a sort of top 5, top 6 team in terms of expected goals and data. So everything for me is stacking up in Wolves' favour here. I think Wolves' double chance, basically Wolves all draw, is in your favour at 1.73. But you can boost that price slightly towards even money by just chucking in over 0.5 goals on the sportsbook. So Wolves not to lose in a game that features at least one goal. That's my bet.
So what you're saying is Jake from InfoGoal, if ever you get above your station, just listen back to the last 3 minutes and you'll realise that you're wrong, completely wrong. That is the Premier League done and dusted then. That game concludes the Premier League fixtures this weekend. We are talking Europe and the start for the new leagues next. This is Football Only Better in the company of Andy Brassel, European football expert. Also Kevin Hatchard, he commentates a fair bit, week in, week out, day in, day out, hour by hour, on all things Bundesliga starting this weekend. And Mark O'Hare, our betting analyst from Betfair and beyond. It is the start. Why should I get overexcited about La Liga and Bundesliga this weekend, Andy?
Because, as I said before, I think there's a genuine title race in both. I don't think we can find out too much too soon because, you know, as Kevin was saying, he's going to be at Bayern versus Hertha. You would expect them to get off the mark with a win there. But look, I think Dortmund are excellently well prepared this season. I don't think the top four is set in stone either. I think with the top three being so much better than the rest, and it will be interesting to see in which order that shakes out in Spain, fourth is open for someone to take, just like it is in the Premier League. I think Sevilla are probably the obvious one. They've had quite a turnover of players, as is their wont. But having Monchi back pulling the strings upstairs, it's a good opportunity for Julen Lopetegui to prove that he's not a lame duck at club level as a coach.
Yeah, he's out on his ear quick enough, isn't he? For you then, Kevin, where do I look across both these leagues and find some value?
I think in terms of the Bundesliga title race, you look at Bayern, who are 1.28 on the exchange to win the title for the 8th successive season. But then you look at Dortmund at 5.2 and you think, how close are they? It went down to the final day last season. At one stage, Dortmund were 9 points ahead of Bayern and they reeled them in slowly. But I think Dortmund have learnt from the mistakes they made. I think the signing of Mats Hummels brings leadership and brings aerial strength to that defence. Julian Brandt's a very exciting signing from Bayer Leverkusen, could be one of the best pickups of the summer. I think Torgan Hazard will do well as well. Paco Alcacer is fitter. He scored a lot of goals last season, but I don't think he was fully fit. So I actually think he'll make a consistent impact. And Jadon Sancho is one of the best young players on the planet. So I think it's going to be very, very tight again. So from a betting perspective, I think you're looking at Dortmund at 5.2.
From the XG perspective, and feel free, Mark, I'll let you go at this first because, again, Jake's not here. Bayern far ahead of the rest. Dortmund only ranked fourth on the XG last season, and Jake thinks worth taking on Dortmund this season.
No, I disagree. just purely through betting terms, the bets, the odds imply that Bayern have a 78% chance of winning the Bundesliga this season, which I think is far too high. There was 2 points difference between the two teams last season. Dortmund have the better coach, the better strength and depth. They've improved at the back as well. To me, Bayern have stood still. I think they're vulnerable. I actually think it's a three-horse race this season because Leipzig cannot be dismissed. Julian Nagelsmann is an absolute genius and he's got a great selection of young talent there. Lookman and Ampadu for UK fans to look out for this season as well. I think I'd be definitely with Dortmund at the prices, but I'd be backing and potentially trading out Leipzig. I think Tev was saying they're about 50-1 earlier this week.
They were 50 and then they've come into 30. I think what will be interesting about them is they're at home to Bayern on match day 4. And I think that's going to be a really good yardstick as to where both of those two teams are. So if Leipzig were to win that game, then that price is going to tumble further. So if you're going to get on it, I'd get on it now.
I think the placement of those fixtures is really interesting, isn't it, Kevin? Because you look at Leipzig's first two seasons up, and they've not been able to have a crack at Bayern until nearly Christmas. I think that was particularly influential in the first season. If they'd have ended up playing them in September, October, rather than playing them just before the breakup for winter, that would have made a major difference. The coaching of Nagelsmann, as Mark says, I think is absolutely integral. It just gives all of those players an extra little 5%. And, you know, there are some very young players who play like they've got a lot of experience already, the likes of Upamecano, Ibrahima Konate, really terrific defence as well. I wonder if the top four, though, is maybe completed by Gladbach. I think there may be a dark horse for that. A few interesting new coaches going around the Bundesliga. Marco Rosa, who's come over from Salzburg, is one of those. I think he's an upgrade for Gladbach. They've got some interesting players in from France, in Marcus Thuram, the son of Lilian, who could be good for a couple of goals, and Ben Sabaini, the defender from Rennes, who I think will really improve them at the back as well. So I see them maybe getting past Leverkusen into fourth.
We've gone on longer than a Super Cup, so just purely on penalties, I'll let you all tackle La Liga. Give me one sexy thing for this weekend for La Liga and beyond, if you want to look beyond that. Let's start with Mark, then you, Kevin, and Andy. I'll let you round them all off.
It's not sexy at all, but it's more for a multiple if you're having a long-term multiple, really. I don't think you can get a better banker than Atletico Madrid in the without Real Madrid and Barcelona market, which is 1.67, but they've finished in the top three in the last seven seasons. I know they've been through a huge overhaul this season, or this summer, with, you know, Griezmann, Godin, and basically the whole defence moving on, but they're fans are very much looking forward to the season. They're very excited about what they can achieve. And you look at what's happening across the road at Real Madrid, I think Madrid are vulnerable. So Atletico, definitely the top three for me.
I think you underplay that.
I'm going to be equally unsexy.
Yeah.
It's often been said. I'm going to back Barcelona to win the title at 1.62 on the exchange because, well, the little guy's still there. So that makes a difference. Lionel Messi, I think him and Griezmann, I think they'll link up really, really nicely. We don't know what will happen with Neymar, but if he comes in as well, that just strengthens them. And if that doesn't happen, they still have, I think, a very strong squad. I think Valverde gets a lot of stick, but he's so consistent domestically.
Yeah,
I can't see past them. I think Atletico are exciting, but there's a big turnover of players there, so it might take a little while.
Exactly. It's totally unprecedented, really, isn't it, in modern European football, for one of the biggest clubs in Europe, for them to change so many players in just one summer. Normally, it's done gradually. Even teams who turn over a lot of players, like Juventus, they do it two or three every summer. But this is, you know, year zero for them. I think how many goals they score will be really, really interesting because, you know, they've not been the most open team to watch. It's all about Joao Felix, really, because they've paid a lot of money for him, which they've spent all the Griezmann money on him, although they are making a substantial saving on his wages, on the other hand. But the confidence that he's shown already, just since he's been in the first team at Benfica, that's been clear. You know, usurped Eusebio's record as the youngest hat-trick scorer in European football when we went back to the quarterfinals of the Europa League last season. He plays like he is the best player in the team already. And if he can steer clear of injury, if Simeone can be a little bit more hands-off and let him do his thing, I think he's someone who will score a lot of goals, who could be an interesting bet to trade away later in the season, because I think he'll start the season very well in terms of top goal scorer.
Yeah.
And maybe he can even take Atleti to the title.
I mean, you said it wasn't sexy, but just sit back and watch our YouTube subscriptions rise. La Liga and Bundesliga, done. We've rattled almost through that. You are listening to Football and watching football, hopefully, subscribing to Football Only Better. Thank goodness we spent 4 hours on everything else, because that means we can gloss over the fact when it comes to Barker's battles. I'm not even going to attach my name to it anymore, which is what we do on the podcast every week. When it comes to the battles that we do every week, we all lost last week. So let's quickly go through this so hopefully everyone will miss it and skip. I am going to go for something away from the Premier League, but give us something this weekend that we should look at, Kevin Hatchard.
I think Arsenal... minus 1.5 on the Asian handicap at home to Burnley. 1.94. Arsenal have a terrific record against Burnley, and I think they'll win comfortably.
Mark O'Hare, what's going in your battle?
It's Wolves double chance and over 0.5 goals. The two teams played out just 2 0-0 draws across the Premier League as a whole last season. I know Wolves played out a 0-0 last weekend, but lightning can't happen twice, can it?
Andy Brassel, did you know you were putting your neck on the line?
I do now. I think I'm going to go for Aston Villa to beat Bournemouth quite comfortably. I don't like the look of Bournemouth at all this season. I'm really concerned for them in terms of the bottom three. And Villa showed themselves to be extremely strong, I thought, in that first hour. But they need to get some points on the board straight away, so they're really going to have to go for this.
I'm going to go for a double chance too, but I'm going to go for a game you will be commentating on. I hope, Kevin, having just said this, you are going to be at the Gladbach
Schalke.
Yes,
Gladbach Schalke.
Good. I'm going
to go. Work me hard.
Schalke double chance.
Yeah, I think that's definitely worth a look, because I understand what Andy was saying about Gladbach, but I think it might take a while for them to settle down. I think them losing Torgan Hazard is a big problem. I think Schalke have looked okay in pre-season. They're competitive. That's the thing under David Wagner now. And Gladbach just above even. So I'll be looking to lay Gladbach, or as you say, go for the double chance.
Yeah, I just needed you to say that I'm right. That was all I needed you to say. But thank you for the working out. Well, Jake, we can all say whether Jake and his XGs is wrong on this. He says his battle bet is Leicester or draw versus Chelsea.
Fair.
You've stunned them into silence, Jake. Jake will be back with us. He's part of the team too on Football Only Better. Thanks to Andy. Kevin, thank you. Mark, thank you. Thank you too for subscribing, listening, watching, wherever you've found us. We'll be back next week. You can read more at betting.betfair.com. And of course, you can also be part of us by giving us a like too. We'd love your reaction and your feedback. Remember to gamble responsibly. Bye for now.